Governor Gretchen Whitmer was among the leaders who gathered in the U.S. Capitol today for the swearing-in of our 46th president. Joe Biden got support from Gretchen Whitmer throughout his campaign. And many are hoping that his ascension to the Oval Office might mean a stronger standing for Michigan. We caught up with Governor Whitmer to talk about her part in preparing for this day and some pressing issues for Michigan. Governor Whitmer, welcome back to Stateside.
Thank you.
You are one of the co-chairs of the Presidential Inauguration Committee. For the layperson, could you run us through what responsibilities you had and some of the challenges you had to contend with? There's so much going on right now with security and public health.
Well, sure. In a normal year, being on the Presidential Inaugural Committee, I think, brings all sorts of opportunities for to get together with folks and to help people get tickets and to plan out what the ceremony looks like. And certainly in this year with COVID-19 and the really kind of tough political environment that we have and with a domestic terrorist attack on our United States Capitol, it's just got to look a lot different. And that's okay. You know, our goal was to make sure that we honor the inaugural traditions, that we showcase the strength and resilience of our nation, and that we bring Americans together to mark a new beginning. And I know that's what President-elect Biden and Vice President-elect Harris, President Biden and Vice President Harris today, will be working toward at every turn.
In terms of security, I heard that there are now more military boots on the ground in the District of Columbia than in both Iraq and Afghanistan combined. Is that true?
I can't tell you for sure if that's true. I've heard that same figure. I can just tell you that the United States Secret Service has been overseeing the security. The peaceful transfer of power is a cornerstone of our democracy and our leadership in the world. And we are committed to that. And hopefully this moment is a real opportunity for us all Americans and people who reside in the United States of America to recognize that's what binds us, and that's what should be paramount as we look to the future of our nation for ourselves, for our kids and future generations of Americans.
I think it can be argued that we have not had a peaceful transfer of power to this point. So many people were rattled by what happened at the Capitol. Can you let us in on why the decision was made to continue with the pageantry of a presidential inauguration? Is the risk of an open ceremony that important?
I really believe that the Secret Service has done a great deal to mitigate the risk, that it is important for the United States to see that we won't let what truly is a small number of domestic terrorists undermine this fundamental moment. And even if the outgoing president doesn't want to honor their traditions, the rest of us will rise to this moment, and we will put this democracy ahead of our individual needs, our partisan goals, that we will say this country that we are all so fortunate to call home is paramount, and that we honor this moment, but we get right to work. And I know that many new administrations have a little bit of a honeymoon. That's not going to be the case here, because Joe Biden and Kamala Harris are inheriting a great deal of strife and crisis, but I know that they're ready to work on day one, and they will.
President Biden chose you to be vice chair of the Democratic National Committee. And the Democratic Party has been experiencing a split over the past couple of years between its moderate and progressive wings. And so far, the party's been able to hold it together. But there are many people worried about the risk of it fracturing irreparably, as we've seen happening on the right between moderates, conservatives, and Trump loyalists. How do you think the Democratic Party avoids that fate?
I think it's by staying tethered to the realities that American families and American businesses are confronting every single day. One of the things that was so important as I ran for governor was actually getting around the state and talking to everyone, getting into all 83 counties in Michigan, having those conversations. And I'm continuing it as governor, staying tethered to what's going to improve people's lives, engaging with folks so that they, you know what they are worried about, so you can focus on solving problems, I think is the bread and butter of the Democratic Party. And certainly it is a big tent. It always has been. That's one of the reasons I love being associated with this party. But we're going to push and pull one another a bit. But I think so long as we stay focused on what really is meaningful in terms of creating paths to opportunity for everyone, we are going to continue to have opportunities to drive the agenda. And I think that's absolutely crucial.
Governor Whitmer, I wanted to ask a question about the aftermath of the insurrection at the Capitol. We hear reports that the Pentagon is cleaning house with respect to people who participated and who took part in violent acts at the Capitol. Same goes for law enforcement all around the country right now. You understand the threat of anti-government and white supremacist actors, maybe more than most. And yet at the same time, we all have this reality that police oversight is such a local matter and locally controlled. What should be happening in Michigan right now to make sure that the people who are protecting us have a clear view of what the country's best interests are?
I can just say this. When we saw those horrifying pictures out of our nation's capital a couple of weeks ago, and I heard people saying, oh, I can't believe this is happening. All I could think was, well, then they haven't been paying attention. We saw this play out in Michigan 10 months ago. We saw this kind of, you know, behavior where people were showing up with automatic rifles going into the state capitol to intimidate lawmakers. That was happening in Michigan 10 months ago. Some of those very same people were indicted in a plot to kidnap and kill me. When the leader in the White House continues to foment the vitriol and the hate and give license to people that are intent on doing domestic terror to their fellow Americans, it is a dangerous moment. And it is incumbent that we know and have confidence in that our law enforcement is going to remember their oaths to our nation and be of the caliber people that we hope and expect to be in law enforcement, not sympathizers to groups that are trying to undermine our democracy and the very constitution that law enforcement officers take an oath to, and that all, frankly, all office holders do. So I do think that accountability is incredibly important in this moment. I'm glad to see law enforcement agencies doing the hard work of identifying people that were at that Capitol insurrection and that they will move forward and press charges. I think that that's appropriate, and I think it's absolutely important for us to have accountability. We have to continue moving forward, but those systems have to work as well, and they are moving forward, and I'm glad to see it.
Last question, Governor. I have to ask about the status of COVID-19 vaccines in Michigan. We know that there have been many, many issues trying to get enough doses and coordinating among counties. And just recently, we got news that there basically is no national stockpile for Michigan and other states to fall back on. You've said you want school districts to try to give a face-to-face learning option in March. Do you think that that's still a realistic goal given what we know about vaccine administration?
I think it's a realistic goal because what we know is that if people follow the protocols, if schools follow the protocols, we can avoid spread in our schools, even if we haven't gotten to 100% of teachers and staff in our schools vaccinated. We know, having been through this for 10 months, that there has been in-person instruction in many places throughout this whole pandemic. And we've not seen the massive numbers of COVID cases that some thought we might. Certainly, I was worried that we would. The fact of the matter is, if people can space out and wear their masks universally throughout the day, that we can resume some in-person teaching without increasing the potential of COVID spread. Even if we were able to get 100% of our teachers and staff vaccinated next week, we would still need to follow these protocols because this remains a novel virus that is mutating. And until we get to at least 70% of our population vaccinated, we've got to adopt these protocols and live with them.
Obviously, schools won't get to 100% vaccination for their staff by March 1st, but the case that comes to my mind is Detroit. I mean, we don't even know if there's enough for, you know, maybe 25% or 10% of those teachers to get vaccinated. The Free Press has been reporting there are huge delays in the program. You're going to stick by this recommendation?
Yeah, I mean, it's a recommendation. So first, let's make sure that that I reiterate that it's a recommendation that we prioritize in-person learning and that they have a plan that they have put out to their public. It's not an order. It is a recommendation. We know that the learning loss our kids are experiencing is real and will take years to remediate. Many school districts have kept kids in the classroom and have not had major outbreaks, and it's because they're following the protocols. And so what we have encouraged districts to do is to come up with a plan, to work with their educators on it, their parents. That's really important. But prioritizing in-person learning is something that really is critical for the kids and can be done safely, because we've seen that happen in districts all across the country who've stayed in person throughout the virus coming to the United States.
Governor Gretchen Whitmer, thank you very much for making some time for us.
Thank you.
Governor Whitmer is in Washington, D.C. today for the presidential inauguration.